Welcome to D&D, the Dinner Party Role Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Grussel. With me today are the fun people. Say hi, fun people.
What up?
Hi.
It's season six.
Season six.
That was great. That was delightful.
What if we do? Last time on D&D, or wait, last season on D&D.
If you want to do a recap now, that would save me a lot of time. I fucking hate doing the recap.
We need them.
We need them. No, like cutting together the clips to put it. It is the worst part of making this show.
Really?
Yes.
They're enjoyable to listen to.
It is so obnoxious and tedious.
Well, because you have to dig back through everything.
And it's like, well, what's relevant? And like, how do I find 1 minute of recap?
What's the concise line to include that'll convey
That's like entertaining, but conveys the information without giving stuff away.
The thing you would normally do is as the show's being made, you like pull those big moments to the side, but it's an improv show.
Yes.
So you don't know
Correct.
Which important moments are important moments until the end of the season, wouldn't it?
Right.
That's why you need an assistant editor.
Yep.
We need employees.
and if podcast money stayed what it was in 2020.
How are sponsorships coming along?
Zero.
We're grassroots, guys. We don't make any money off of this. Please buy D&D posters, t-shirts, radshop.cool.
Patreon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, no, the show has made it to six seasons because of the generous support of patrons like you.
And I don't have a timeline for this, but I want, during season six, we are going to make Patreon exclusive t-shirts from the past available widely. I'm saying that now.
Yeah, there are enough. Happen. It's been years.
2024, baby. This is our year.
Yeah.
It's our year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of fun things ahead for season six. I'm really excited to get into today's action.
Today, Judy.
That was in my head. You pulled that out of my brain. Yeah. We're also going to have dinner today. I'm very excited to make in a little bit.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's a season
you
premiere, so
that.
You know what
it's
it is.
It's Detroit-style pizza.
Detroit-style pizza.
Oh, my God.
Are we going to Detroit in season six?
Well, wait for me to describe what we're doing.
Are we moving to the train station?
It's beautiful
that
now.
That would be cool as hell.
We could buy the train station.
Come on, Kerbert.
Choo-choo.
We are having Detroit style pizza, and we will see how that relates to the action of the story here just very shortly. But yeah, it will go in the oven in a little bit. I have some ramen broth on the stove that's not for you guys. That's
it's not
just,
for us.
It's not. That's just for the week.
Thanks.
What a tease.
Thanks for that.
You're just drinking ramen broth?
Well, I'm going to eventually make ramen. I also have pork belly curing in the fridge.
But it's not for us.
It's not for us.
Got some
nope.
hot
it's
chocolate
raining this
brewing
week in.
A cake being made, but none of it's for us.
It's not for us.
It's
nope.
not for us.
Yeah, that's. I bet that's how it feels to listen to this show. We eat all this amazing food.
I did see the palmellas are coming in at the tree at the front of the road. Mm. I was going to grab some and make a
the
tart.
What?
The palmellas, those fruits.
I thought those were oranges.
No, they're palmellas.
But they're so small.
Yeah, what's a palmello?
Those are big?
Yeah.
It's a mellow that can fit
it's
in
a
your
big
palm.
Lemon.
It's
a big citrus.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
People,
I feel like we should be taught more fruits as kids, because I went most of my life thinking that all the fruits were like apple, orange, banana, cherry.
Those are it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
so
people start
many.
Talking about other fruits, and I'm like, when did those start getting made?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, the earth's when been making
when
them.
When did those start getting made?
And I was like, what the? How come I've never fucking heard of these things?
There's some
like
fruits that
fruit?
Are gone forever.
Like, what's a dragon
that we never
fruit?
Even had the opportunity to have because
the
now there's extinct
yeah.
fruits.
The dodo fruit. There's like a gazillion apples. Like apples used to be shit.
Well, they used to be. Yeah. yeah I mean, yeah. apples is one that has improved.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'd really like us to just have
the earth
been,
got good.
There's
making
a gazillion
apples.
Citrus.
No, that was us. Give credit where it's due. That
yeah.
was people.
The earth got good at citrus. Yeah.
You ever had an ice cream bean? That's what?
What
I'm curious about. There's
an
ice cream fruit. It's an ice cream bean. It's a big old thick pea pod.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you crack it open, and on the inside, it looks like cotton candy. It tastes like ice cream.
What?
Yes.
How? What?
That doesn't make...
I'm looking this up.
Jungles are crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, yeah, like, bananas are weird, too, because,
yeah,
like...
they used to suck, too.
Well,
they
used to be
to,
different.
They used to
different.
Taste yeah. totally different, have a different texture. Like, that's why banana-flavored stuff
doesn't
taste
like
bananas. Because it's based on This older
extinct bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. This, and that's bananas, also why in cartoons, bananas are slippery and they're not slip. Like, oh, that's an old extinct banana.
We're eating the same banana that we did 100 years ago, right?
Different banana.
Or is it different banana?
It's like dogs. Dogs are different than 100 years ago.
Sure.
Sure.
Way different.
What's the deal with bananas?
You're right.
It's a different kind of banana species, I believe.
Right, but it's only like we only have one kind of banana.
Well, there's the like eating banana.
Yes.
There's plantains.
There's plantains. Which suck.
Plantains are great.
Plantains are good.
Plantains are in my top five.
Whenever they're like a side dish or fried,
I like them.
Hand them over. My mouth is open.
Careful, man.
I will eat all of your fried plantains.
Yeah, you think you're the only one?
Yeah, I like them.
They're the best.
Yeah, they're very good.
They're sugar mush.
They can be bad, I agree, but they can be great.
Oh yeah, ice cream.
Usually
beans.
I like them more when they're greener and not as sweet.
Ice cream beans look kind of gross.
They do look a little.
They
gross.
Look like mold.
Description sounded fucking awful.
Yeah,
wild. I want to eat it. I wanted to eat it.
I feel like my body wouldn't let me.
It's like a little
cat. If I found this just on my own and opened it, I'd be like, oh, it's moldy.
Yeah, like
and
that's
bad.
No good. That's not.
Buy an ice cream bean tree for $178.
According to Mike's Google search.
Oh, you're looking at my computer? What the heck? This is private.
How long it takes to make it.
I ordered one.
Yay.
No,
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Here's an ice cream tree.
It's not a Christmas tree anymore. We have an ice cream bean tree. All
right, season six, starting off with beans.
Good.
Yes. Excellent. excellent bean and food talk.
Yeah, how are you doing, Gresso? I feel like your energy is reflective of the weather. It's raining
right
now. It
is. It's tough when it's like, I mean, it is like dreary. It's not just like, oh, it's raining and it's LA, so it's a... No, it is like, it is legit real rain today. It's a
Yeah, we might not be able to drive home, Mike and
I. Like, I could never live in Seattle.
Where it's just raining all the time.
I would be cranky all the time.
Yeah.
I lived in Portland and it was like that.
It's not good. Not good.
I think it might have happened to me for the first time.
Feeling the weather?
I think I might be feeling the weather for my old lady bones are starting to
is that real?
It is absolutely real.
It is. The pressure changes I can feel in my bad knee, sure.
It's like we've all unlocked a new skill.
It's also possible that I have gone back to the gym and I'm just generally sore.
Just sore?
No.
And I've been like, that's my weathered toe.
I think you're an old lady now. You just have to live with it.
Both things can definitely be true.
Yeah.
No, I am excited for today. I am excited to get started into season six and start the next leg of the adventure. And I'm excited for Detroit pizza. Yeah. I made this dough with an 80% hydration, which was a tip that I got from Chef Shota Nakajima, who was at an event at Girl and the Goat here in LA. Did like it was a cookbook event for Karen Nikutowicz, who's also another Top Chef chef, and me and my wife went, and it was great. And they came around and talked to people afterwards. And he has a Detroit pizza place in Seattle, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool. We're from Detroit, and we want to go next time we're in Seattle." And then he just started talking to me about dough hydration, and I was like, awesome. "This is great. This is exactly the interaction I want."
Cool.
And he said that he settled on an 80% hydration because he found that most Detroit pizzas were heavy and dense and you couldn't eat more than one piece.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes.
That's the problem.
It's too much.
So he went with a lighter dough.
Hmm.
So I tried that today.
Nice. And we're going to find
out.
How many pieces
we put them down.
I'm going to do a classic red stripe cheese and then a Jets super special style.
Aha.
Yeah. Jets pizza, the best pizza.
Yep.
Detroit style pizza, I think, better than Buddy's. Controversial opinion.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it. Jets is great and I miss it.
So your interaction with the chef is like the interaction that the guy from the menu wanted. But he didn't get that.
I think
he got the opposite.
Very different kinds of things. Oh my God. Just even watching the kill count for the menu again, I was just shrunk into my seat watching. That's such a good movie.
It's so good.
But yeah, so we'll find out after today's session how that goes. I'm excited for that. But before we eat pizza, We are going to actually play some Dungeons and Dragons, which is exciting. We haven't in quite some time before Christmas. Back, yeah, it's been a bit. Dang. So, last we left you guys off, you had completed your adventure in Didredon. You returned home to Knight's Pass, where you had a ghostly encounter with the wizard Plintharin Belamor, whose spirit gave you some exposition and pointed you guys in the next direction. It was through his magic, or the magic of his spirit or ghost or whatever it was, who opened up the mysterious door in your basement, which led to a portal of some kind through which you stepped on into parts unknown. It is in that moment, in that portal, where we will resume our journey. But do you guys have any questions before we get started?
What's in the portal?
What's in the portal? Well, we will do that. Does anyone have any non-portal related questions?
What does the portal look like?
That's also part of it.
Wait, so Plinther was at our house? But
yes.
How big is the portal?
The portal is portal doorway. Oh, yeah. No, these are all portal questions.
Do we have
only Chelsea followed the assignment?
Yeah. We don't have like a portal gun.
I didn't have the assignment before I asked, so I'm good too.
Fair.
I'm an asshole.
Yes.
I was just making the joke hit again.
Do you think there will be a portal 3?
Damn it, Chelsea.
That's good. That is
Does
a good.
That count? Is that a portal related question?
Technically, it is a portal.
Odd, but maybe you were talking about a portal with a small portal
from a certain point of view.
I hope there is a
portal. That was
hope so. Portal 1 and 2 are two of the greatest games ever.
Yeah, they're very fun.
That they cannot make a third game of anything. So, no TF3. Yeah. There's no
Half-Life 3.
Sorry, Beth. We will never be able to co-op Portal 3 because it'll never come out.
God, it's
hasn't it been
good.
Like 15 years?
Orange Box. Whoa, wait, no, that was Portal. Portal 2.
It might be long enough for a replay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We never did, all of us did not play Baldur's Gate, but we did all play Portal 2.
2011.
Wait, when does this episode come out?
Wednesday.
I'm not sure if it's been officially announced yet, but I don't see why it would change. On Thursday, the 29th
of February
of this month, I will be streaming Baldur's Gate with this charity called Special Effect. They're based in the UK. They get like accessibility devices to gamers. Oh, cool. So they help like all kind of like anything you could think of. It's so cool, the technology they have. And on that stream, I will be streaming with two of the actors from Baldur's Gate. Oh, I'm very excited. One of which is Karlach. So,
oh shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Everyone's favorite, not devil girl. What is
tiefling.
She? Yeah, she's a tiefling.
Tiefling.
What's her name?
Karlach. She's everyone's muscle mommy.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's down. Whatever you want to do, she says yes.
But basically, we're just doing like a chaos run of part of like the first few part. Hours yeah. of yeah
that's cool.
That'll be awesome.
We're just building stupid characters.
That's a tiefling.
Yeah, they're like devil people. We haven't really messed with tieflings in this story.
The only tiefling I know is the one from the D&D movie, right? Yep. She was a little tiefling.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a little cutie. This one, she looks like a devil.
There's like there's like a range.
Does Brizzy play a tiefling? I feel like I see her dressing up like that.
I think so.
I think she's
in one of her things.
Maybe cosplayed her. I'm not sure.
Every campaign that I've ever played where somebody else played a tiefling, that other person was a hot woman.
I'm
just saying, I think it's hot women play tieflings in D&D.
I can see the appeal. Yeah.
Of a tiefling? You like tails?
No. As if you were, if you are a hot woman to play a tiefling, I can see how like that would, you know, lean into it without being like an elf, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Strong elf.
Yeah, I'm confirming. Yeah. Okay, so it'll be, Thursday the 29th of February, and it's at 7 p.m. GMT.
Put it in the announcements.
GMT is
Greenwich Mean
Greenwich Mean Time. So that's far away.
That's British, isn't it?
It's British, yeah.
Yeah,
that's what we deal with Sea of Thieves, right? GMT.
Mm-hmm. I think for
Pacific
time, that's
GMT.
11 a.m.
Okay.
Anyway,
you can Google your specific time zone as in relation to GMT and go and watch that.
Or just keep the stream on. crank the volume, 29? And when it turns on, you'll hear know. It. You'll
January know. 29th.
No, February 29th.
February 29th.
Past January 29th.
We are past January 29th.
We didn't play any D&D in January.
We did not. But we're going to now.
We leveled up. That is playing. You're right. I'm sorry.
I suppose.
It's prepping to play at least.
Yeah. I'm a piece of shit.
P&P?
Prepping that.
Prepping.
You're right. What? Prepping play? I fucked up.
No, I didn't.
I'll go.
I didn't
you
say
you can't
that.
Leave.
Mike, it's, what if I just cut in the end music there?
We're in the portal just
punching. The punch portal. No fights.
Okay, now I will answer your portal questions.
Yes.
Ooh. Through the magic of narration.
Yeah, I've got an unrelated question to the
If, for real though, if you don't have any other like gameplay related things about any of your new shit or anything you need to get ready for, then we will.
My new spell. I picked honestly the easiest to understand spells. They're just big boom.
Great.
We just got home and didn't even get to rest.
Like,
we
no, long you rest. Were, you long rested. Yeah,
we rested. Well, I don't know, but like, were we home a day
you
or
like,
a couple days?
What, role play us just walking around in our house?
Yeah just like
time did
like
pass.
Organizing
it
closets
was
and
unclear
stuff.
How much there was a.
Okay,
did we have time to organize a closet?
It is
God,
true that,
I kill for that
your haircut looks nice.
Yeah,
God.
It is
thanks.
True
I
that,
just wanted acknowledgement.
It's true that organizing and cleaning your pretend house is always more fun than cleaning your real life house.
Yes.
Yes.
Like just, in like farming games and stuff.
Mm-hmm. We just, you know, we went on a huge long adventure. We were exhausted. I just didn't know if we got home.
Sure.
Like, all right,
a couple
here
of
we go
off.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah,
we got
yeah.
A couple
I
days
feel
off.
You, man.
Okay. That's all. That's all I wanted to know.
Yes. Yes. Time had passed. It was you there was a
nice montage.
Yeah.
Stuff we did.
Of
you were not sure
showers.
Of how much time passed because there was magic shenanigans. But time did pass. You were home for a little bit. You all refreshed and you are stronger now. And now you're going through. You stepped through the secret doorway in the basement. And now you are entering that portal. The portal, this particular portal, you've been through portals. This particular portal is behaving similarly to some others in the past where there is a stretching feeling. It is a bright, bright white light at first, but then it settles into something different. This is now more similar to the blue and green aurora lights that you guys have passed through before and seems to be connected still some way to the magic of Didridon and the associated god of death and those means of transportation. You're traveling through this spirit world in between the worlds of your world, the known world, the Feywild, and the Shadowfell. Yes, Beth?
I have questions that don't have anything to do with portals now. I'm
okay.
Sorry, I didn't think of them before
we're,
this
no, we're
moment.
Portaling
yeah,
down.
I think we can't ask
but,
questions.
But, okay, go ahead.
I've got two questions. Okay. My first question is, where is the mask?
I was just about to tell you that.
Sick, never mind then. And my second question was overshadowed by my curiosity about where the mask is.
Okay.
But I have it. I have one. It was important, and I wanted to know the answer to it.
Boo!
Last season, can you remind me? Fuck. Last season, can you remind me? We went into a space that had a bunch of like windows into different areas
yes,
and zones,
did.
And
yep.
We all saw something different.
Yep.
Where? What? Why did that happen? Where was that? How did that happen? Who did that to us?
Didridon did that to you.
So it was like a.
It was
before
messing
acceptance?
With the, yeah, it was after, it was part of the acceptance phase. It was the wind down of all of that. It was messing with the memory aspects of what that god governs. So you're unsure.
Okay. And then we blinked home.
You blinked
and
home.
There was a ghost cooking Detroit style pizza in our kitchen.
Indeed there was.
Cool. Thanks. That's
and,
what I needed to know.
Yes, that is what happened. Whether those were prophecies, whether those were visions, whether those were memories that have not yet happened, it is unclear what those visions mean and what the purpose of you being shown them is. That is the nature of prophecy. But you were shown images that are relevant in some way to your person. Or at least that is what you were told by this entity that controls memory and your soul and things. So It is those forces that you are being transported by now through this portal in this kind of in-between spirit world where you are traveling over the world, the known world, your known world, world one, in your hierarchy of worlds, I believe.
World one?
And
Wait, I thought we were world two, though.
You might be world two.
Yeah. I think there was, it triggered an existential crisis.
It did. Yeah, we were number one.
The Feywild, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
World number one. And then the Shadow.
They have the one area code. Like,
we'll get it next season.
United States gets number one.
You do that when you invent the phone.
That's true.
You can claim it. You are traveling now through the kind of spirit world up. At first, it seems as though you are kind of underground or in a non-space of just light, and then it opens up into the sky, where you are traveling over the world, as you were a couple times last season. Didridon's mask dislodges itself from your pack, Margarine, and it starts to float in front of you. It glows. It has this shine to it. And the eyes in particular start to glow a little brighter as it floats in front of you. You guys aren't flying. You're not like prone. You are standing upright as if you are on like a conveyor belt.
Oh,
so you're not like floating. Oh. You stepped through and then you're just kind of like pulled.
Okay.
You know? The mask is floating in front of you, and its eyes start to glow and it turns around and then its eyes start to project.
Whoa.
An image. And its eyes project the image of Plinthoran Belamor, the wizard that you just saw previously in your kitchen. Now it is once
looking
again,
like Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, kind of semi-transparent.
Like, oh, I was going to say, you must contact me.
That's Seal Bibble.
That's
I know.
You must.
I know
you know Seal Bibble. I would never imply otherwise.
Yeah, and the image of Plinthoran Belamor floats in front of you. He's also standing upright and starts to describe to you where you are going. And he says, "Adventurers, you are on your way to the town of Carriage Straits, which is an industrial city on a river, small river that connects two larger bodies of water as they... two big rivers as they merge together and then head south down to the sea."
I thought you were dead.
I am dead.
Oh, yeah. But when you were in our kitchen, you said goodbye forever. Why are you here now? I made peace.
And then he just continues describing the place. And you get the sense that this isn't really a two-way conversation.
Damn, that sucks.
It was a second. My first question
at a theme park, trying to talk back to the like pre-show video.
Yeah, the queue.
Carriage Straits is an industrial town that connects two big rivers as they merge into a third one that flows down south to the sea in the port city of Plus Namzarid. Carriage Straits rests not only on the banks of these rivers, but next to the Great Furacy Emerald, the emerald forest that stretches across the majority of this continent. It covers such vast land that it is known as the Emerald Sea when you look down upon it from the mountains. Or a plane.
Hypothetically.
Is that where Fletch is from?
Fletch is from, not from this forest, no.
I am filthy rich, though.
This just changes Fletch. Now that he knows that money has value.
Yeah. He has a monocle. Where'd your monocle come from? Yeah,
sure. Just very now concerned with quarterly profits and nothing else.
Sick of him wearing gloves all the time.
Its proximity to the forest led to a boom in logging, of course. The great trees of the Furacy Emerald are powerful and strong woods that are used for many different things. But the chief industry here is the building of carriages. And predominantly at one factory owned by Lord Henri Dirkvaten.
How do you spell that?
H-E-N-R-I-V-E-R D-U-R-C-H-W-A-T-E-N.
I'm dying.
Henri Verdurkvaten.
Verdurkvaten.
Yes. He is a lord, and because of that, everybody just kind of calls the factory lords.
Henry Green lord. Something. Right?
Oh, I didn't do a direct translation.
Yeah. Oh, I just never meant like very.
They call the factories lords?
Yep. Because it's his.
Yeah, just like how Macy owns Macy's.
But that's a name, not a title. It'd be like if Prince Macy owned Macy's, but they called them princes. That'd be dumb.
Wait, what are they called? Lords?
They call factories lords.
The factory?
The factory, everybody just colloquially calls it lords.
Oh, it's a single factory. I thought you meant they call all factories.
No. The factory in town that builds the carriage.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
It's a metaphor for power.
It's like Packards.
Yeah. It's like what the factories are, we look up to them as if they are royalty.
Or like Ford, I guess.
Or like Ford.
Gress appointed. That's what he was going for.
Ford Lord.
Well, Ford Lord. Authorial intent doesn't always matter.
It's carriages. Got it. Okay.
Like, yes, they make carriages at Lord's.
Oh, like cars. Detroit what? Pizza.
Oh my God.
Hey, we're going to Detroit.
We're going to Detroit. Oh, now I feel bad because Marjan was like, fuck this. I'm going to go downriver.
Carriage Straits also known.
Oh, we're going downriver. Sorry, guys.
Is
Pleznomzerin
downriver? Pleznomzerin is Gibraltar Trade Center.
What are you describing?
Way downriver. It's just way
restaurants and weed dealers.
Well, okay, so we need to figure out now what Carriage Straits is.
Carriage Straits is where.
Yeah, you don't tell us. So okay.
Is it Woodward?
Yeah, who cares if you wrote it?
Yeah, we want to guess.
Is it Woodward?
Is it Woodward or
is it Dearborn?
Carriage Straits?
Like the
Carriage.
Oh, it's Sterling Heights.
Wait.
Here.
It's just Detroit.
It's car line.
It's but just the factory isn't Dearborn.
Well, yeah, I know.
So is it Dearborn? Is there really good Arabic food?
Well, I mean, like the Rouge Factory.
Yeah, spoilers. At some session during this part of the adventure, there will be Arabic food.
Yes. Oh man.
He's making shawarma.
Yes, there will be Polish food. There will be Arabic food.
We're going to Polish.
We're going to Hamtramck.
We are having Chinese more, almond chicken.
Hamtramck.
Oh, nice.
I think it's been replaced.
Yeah, I mean, like historically Polish.
Yeah.
So the carriage when we did the pre D&D,
yes,
there was
did.
Carriages that we were trying to find. Are these
unrelated?
No, completely unrelated. Yeah.
What about
okay.
the carriage in the swamp that we was that a was
oh
that
my
a lore
god movie?
That
like
would have been manufactured
one.
Here in Carriage Straits.
Wow. Like season one.
Yeah.
He planned that all the way back then.
Dude, nice seed planting.
It is. This is where most carriages are manufactured here in the world.
So also other carriages that we've seen came from here too.
Yeah, so many carriages are built here that people call it Carriage City, or for short, Car Town.
City.
You said season six in Detroit? We're going home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The projection of Plinthorin goes on to give you further exposition and say that there are two main factions of workers at Lord's. There are the factory guys and the foresters. The factory guys assemble the carriages, of course, and the foresters fell all of the trees that are used to create them. These are not the this is now me talking. This is not the projection. These are not the carriages that you've seen in like the Feywild that are self-driving with magic gems. Mm-hmm. These are traditional carriages drawn by livestock.
Plinthorin took the information to the Feywild and made his own. Got rich off it.
They're also not like Willem Dafoe's carriage.
Oh, no, or there's a horse, like a horse head on it.
No, they are traditional carriages, but they're very nice. The workers, you know, are encouraged to purchase a carriage themselves.
I've put my hand through Plinthorin.
Yeah, and it's it does go through. It's just a projection.
Really not him. I swear to God, he answered my question when I said I thought he was dead. And he said, I am dead.
You know, he might have like programmed some pre-recorded responses to common questions. So like, Plinthorin, who's your favorite wizard?
Cartown is also known for its budding entertainment industry and Cartown Records.
Oh, no. I hope they don't cut the incentives.
Oh, buckle up.
Yeah, we're going to be kind of insufferable, I think.
The Plinthorin projection goes on to describe.
Wait, yeah. What is Cartown Records? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
What is Cartown Records?
Like Motown Records.
I know that, obviously.
Duh, James.
But what kind of recording music device do
like
we have in this
wax cylinders.
World?
Oh, it's
like,
where it just sounds like a bunch of angry bees.
Yes, but people love them.
Yeah. It's so novel.
Yeah, it's so novel. It's, you know, it's new technology.
That's new technology?
It's new technology, yeah.
What's old? Slapping spoons against your thighs. Is
I mean, they, you know, there are definitely magic means of recording sound.
I was going to say, it is funny that like,
but
we have a projection
the gap
right
in what magic is possible versus like, we have wax cylinders.
This is a blue collar town.
Yeah, exactly. Wax cylinder, way more affordable for the Fords.
That's going to be so tough. Bad.
For the Lord's factory workers, especially because factory has an F.
Yep.
The Lord's factory workers can afford a wax cylinder. They can't afford a magical audio device.
They can afford a wax cylinder.
Jesus.
Built Lord Tough. God damn it. This is going to be so hard.
This is so dumb. I'm sorry, audience.
As you guys are flying over the mountains, you realize that you are traveling west. The Plinthorin projection goes on to describe in great detail what makes... the carriage straight style pizza so good.
Can we get chili dogs?
Eventually, yes. Oh. Yeah, I have to figure out where to get beef hearts.
Oh, to that make is that Detroit
the,
style
that is
chili?
The key ingredient in Coney chili, beef hearts.
The first time I had like chili that wasn't Detroit style, I remember being so disappointed. Like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. It's got vegetables in it.
Completely
what are we doing?
Different beans.
Totally
different than Coney sauce. Yeah. But yes, Coney's Chinese almond chicken.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. There's going to be some good hometown stuff, cabbage, pierogies. We're getting into the local stuff.
Mm.
City chicken. Did you guys have city chicken growing up?
No.
No.
That one.
I'll introduce
you
to that.
Yes.
It's not chicken. Spoilers.
Is it pork?
It's pork.
Of course.
No.
Yeah, usually it's skewers.
Yeah, I don't know if that was something I had.
We'll get into it. We'll get into all the fun Detroit stuff. But for now, you guys are flying west. You are able to discern that you are flying west over the mountains of Kier, following the Wintersong River into the mountains. Then you pass down the western slopes, and you see this huge, huge forest just stretching out in front of you, this massive, massive, massive forest, as far as you can see up to the horizon. And you're flying along, and you start to descend, and you see this, where these rivers meet, where these big, huge, wide, wide rivers meet, and they narrow into this strait between where they come together, and then they flow into a third river that flows south. And they narrow into this strait, and there are locks in the strait, that are controlling, you know, shipping boats that are coming through. You see docked
It's a big river.
It's a huge, huge river. Oh, yeah. Big, big river. Big. I mean, they could almost be lakes. They're so wide at this point. And you see docked at one of the docks along one of the banks. You see a giant riverboat, big wheel. It's not turning currently. But it is this massive, massive, you know, Mississippi River style riverboat. Painted along the sides of the riverboat, you see are leaping dolphins.
Oh.
And there's lights flashing, even though it's daytime, you can see that there are lights, and there's a lot of activity happening on this riverboat. You see this huge building, this big multi-level building. It's not a castle. It's not a stone building. This is a wooden building. It's a huge, enormous building. And this is the Lord's factory, where there are fully assembled carriages coming out of one end, and there are raw materials coming in the other. These giant, giant trees that have been, fashioned into enormous logs. They're like, you know, telephone poles, but to the nth degree, that are being pushed into the one side of the factory along with other
materials.
Are
some of the trees yelling and crying and screaming and trying, begging to not be put through it? Because sometimes in magic worlds, there's ants.
Sentient trees?
Yeah.
These trees are not.
Who?
But it's a very, very large forest, so we'll see. See what happens with the trees.
Uh-oh.
I'm imagining if we do an animated version, that Plinthorin would be like a Disney. We're on like a Disney ride, and he's like, and on your left, you'll see this and this. And please keep your hands.
Marjorie's not keeping her hands at her sides at all times.
No, she's putting them in Plinthorin.
I imagine Marjorie trying to like wander a little bit outside the like tunnel, and then you just like come in the other side. You like,
really?
And then you just zip. Yeah.
Yeah, she's bored. She stopped listening a while ago.
You're like the Marjorie's the person who, like, you know how moving sidewalks, there's like that kind of brush along the
bottom,
is like putting her finger in that as we get moved along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If she had a mother, they would tell her not to do that because it's dirty, but she didn't. So she's getting dirty.
Yeah.
It's just like soul gunk.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That'll strengthen your immune system.
It puts it in her pocket.
Ew.
You know what?
Can I put soul gunk in my pocket?
Sure.
Fuck you.
We'll figure out what that means.
Oh, God.
Marjorie gets some debris on her finger from putting it on the brush that's on the bottom of the moving escalator. And we're calling it soul gunk. And she puts it in a little tiny bottle and sticks it in her pocket.
Yeah, we'll figure out what that means later. Plinthorin goes on to, you know, he's blathering on about the pizza. But then he starts to, as you are descending further, you are, you know, you can get a better sense of the city. There are, you know, sprawling, they're like cookie cutter homes that have been built out of wood. They're all very close together. They're all exactly the same. You get the sense that that's probably where all of the workers live. The river is very active. There are a lot of these shipping boats that are going into these locks that are heading both north and south. There's the big river boat that's docked. There is a castle, even though the castle is not the factory, and the factory is made out of wood. There is a beautiful stone castle. It is not a huge castle.
The factory bigger?
The factory is much, much bigger, but the castle is very, very nice. It is beautiful architecture. It's referencing architecture from other places.
Is it the Whitney?
It's kind of Whitney-esque. It's kind of the Ford's Mansion in Dearborn. It's like, it's got that very, like, it's like, we're trying to be Europe, you know?
Mm.
It has that kind of vibe.
Who lives there?
Plinth.
Plinth is not lived there. Plinth is dead.
I'm asking.
He's describing, and you happen to catch up to where he's describing things now that you're getting close and you notice it, and that he says that this is the Lord's Manor. This is not the first Henri Verdurkvatten. There have been several. This is the current Lord does live in that castle, or at least that's purported. Yes, there's the factory. You can see the forest where the forest is next to the city, where it used to be next to the city. There's now a huge gap between the city and where the forest wall now is. And there's tree stumps, and you can see that this used to be forest, but it's been cleared. And closer to the trees, the line of trees itself, there's camps set up, and these camps are different from the factory, which is very like rigid and perfectly built and constructed. These are more kind of haphazard. There's tents. You know, you can see that there's activity over there. A tree falls, and you can hear the sound of it. It's this massive crack and thunderous boom as this giant, giant tree falls.
Fletch is getting a little bit anxious.
About the tree?
Doesn't like, yeah. At first he was impressed by everything, but now he's realizing that this is affecting the forest. And if they continue doing this.
Oh, yeah, because you're a wood elf.
Yeah, it feels.
I'm a moon elf. I don't give a fuck.
So you descend, you keep descending. And there is, you know, there are a lot of buildings in the city, like any other city. There's, you know, the usual, you know, inns and businesses and your row houses and things like that. And you're going into flying down towards one of those, and you start to pay more attention to Plinth as he's describing more about specifically why you are being sent here. And he describes that he is sending you to a colleague of the Order of Gaeladoy, who he did not know personally because he was unfortunately killed by that magically resistant Cyclops before he was able to meet this particular operative. But this is a friend to the cause who is working on behalf of the Earthadars and sharing information with Nils and Khoirim and the other members of Gaeladoy who are working to solve the Earthadar curse.
Wait, who is that?
What's their name?
He doesn't know because he never got to meet them.
You know someone's name if you haven't met them. I know plenty of people I haven't met whose names are theirs.
That's true.
Never like met Mr. Chris Evans. Mr. Lords.
And that guy, we know his name. We haven't met him.
Have you met Lord?
Have you met Lord? Plinthrin?
Henri?
Again, a recording.
Oh, yeah.
He answered.
If we try hard enough, maybe it'll talk to us.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Are we there Henri, yet? Are we there?
Are we there? Are we?
And you slam into the side of a building. There's a flash of light, and you are through the side of the building, the wall. Again, wood. This is a wooden city. Unlike Knight's Pass is kind of a mix of wood and stone. It's mostly stone. Ravenscrest was like all wood. Stone. Oyakoto was very wooden, but in a obviously different way.
Are any cities metal cities? All metal.
Didridon had a lot of metal. Yeah, there was a lot of metal there. Metal and mountain. Much more. Yeah, there was a lot of metal aspects to Didridon.
Very metal.
But this one is very American wooden, you know, frontier America.
Lincoln logs?
Not logs. They're planed.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's more refined than that. But
you guys ever think about how much Gressel knows about the world?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah. It's really cool. I wish I was like that.
There's that whole thing about how fucking dudes think about the Roman Empire. I just think about Gressel's knowledge of the world.
Yeah.
A lot of that stems from how much I think about the Roman Empire.
It's Roman Empire will unlock so much.
Everything. It's everything. That's why.
So by extension, does that mean I'm thinking about the
same with English
Empire?
History? Because at one point, England
ruled
conquered so much of the earth that, like, just following the path of English, you end up learning so much about other countries.
Right. Because they butted up with or took over them.
Yeah.
But yes, you slam into this planed side of the this wooden building, and there's a flash of light, and you are now inside of this room, and the mask is floating before you. There's the
wait, which building?
Just a building. It looks like an inn, you know, an inn or an apartment building. Or
is there anyone? Is there a naked? Did we see a naked person?
Is there a naked person here?
Did we slam into the side of it?
You slammed into the side of it. There's a flash of light.
Did we get hurt though?
No, you didn't. You passed through it magically.
Oh, okay, good.
Into a naked person.
Into a room that I'm going to describe
with
nay.
First, there's the mask that's floating in front of you with projecting the image of Plinthrin.
Clothed.
He's Plinthrin.
Clothed, okay.
This image of Plinthrin does start to mix with a physical person that is in this room that is clothed.
Okay. That was
Although you immediately, once the image of Plinthrin starts to kind of fade and you realize there is an actual person here, you see it's a short female figure, horribly, horribly wounded.
Oh.
The mask now falls, now that the projection has stopped. The mask just falls to the ground. Now it's, you are physically in this space now. The mask falls to the ground, breaks something. You hear glass shatter and the room fills with smoke.
What the fuck?
Oh.
Roll a constitution saving throw.
Nine.
I have an advantage against being frightened.
This is not a frightened thing.
17.
I rolled a one, which is a real shame because I specifically, I'm pretty sure, put points into Constitution when I had the choice to when we were leveling up.
It
and
is plus nine, but I rolled you a one. Roll a one.
So incredible. That's great.
I got 16.
First roll it. Season six is going to be good. How often? I wonder if someone, a listener, could do this. How many times has the first, has someone's first roll of a season been a one?
Oh, that's, I bet every year somebody's.
I feel like it happens more often than.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Juno was season one.
Yep.
I don't know about season two or three or four or five, but just.
I bet it
six.
Happened. Yeah. I bet it happened.
Yeah.
So annoying.
So the room fills with smoke. You all start coughing. Flack and Margarine are otherwise unaffected by this smoke. It has a kind of fuchsia haze.
Has me actually coughing. Sorry.
It has kind of a fuchsia haze to it, and it's very acrid, and there's a scent, a sickly sweet scent that comes along with it. Flack, Margarine, you are otherwise fine, other than a few coughs to kind of clear it out of your lungs. Zabbis and Fletch, your memories are foggy.
Oh no.
Yeah. You start to you don't really know where you are or what you're doing here. And that is, you're confused. You are very confused by the situation. Through this haze, as the haze starts to kind of dissipate behind you, you turn and you realize that the haze starts to dissipate through a hole in the side of the building that you did not notice when you were portaled into here. And now behind you, as you turn and you see, there is a, it's a hole of some kind, and it's obscured by the haze currently. This figure, this wounded figure that you saw moments before the smoke filled the room, starts to lurch and tumble towards you and is horrible. You can see even through the haze, horribly, horribly wounded. It's a half-elven woman, dark hair, pointy ears, but not to the extent of Zabbis or Fletch's.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe maybe about 5 feet tall. Looks to be like late 30s, early 40s in human years. Is kind of academically dressed, but just slashed to shit. Currently actively bleeding, can barely stand up, falls over onto a like table, knocks something over, and falls to the ground and starts to kind of like mutter something. Oh. What do?
I cast Cure Wounds at level 4.
The healing magic starts to stitch up the wounds, and then they burst open worse than they were before.
Wow. Maybe. Oh. Wow.
They
would
have
that.
Like dispel magic. Okay.
Why did you do that?
I don't know what. What is happening?
What's the extent of my, because I rolled a one. So like, what's the extent of my amnesia here? Do I remember that I'm like, I can cast spells? Do I remember, like, do you know what I mean?
Yes. You remember that you are Zabbis Kinlan.
Okay.
You remember that you are magic. You remember that you know who all of the people that you came here with are.
Yeah.
But you don't know why. You lost like the last like 2 hours ish.
Okay.
Damn.
I'm going to.
And Fletch, you are also confused, but less so. You know vaguely that you came here for a reason.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to run over to the body.
Okay.
And try to like staunch the, like what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Cause obviously magic ain't going to do it.
We don't know. He just tried to cure wounds. I'm going to try to dispel. Well, no, you're doing stuff, but.
Wait, so do we,
I guess I'll use my new skill, Know Your Enemy, where I spend a minute just trying to figure out, what's going on with this woman? As I try to hold her wounds closed and listen to her mutter.
She's not muttering anything coherent, as you interact with the body, Margarine. And as you spend the time to figure out what happened, what, you know, like, she
and was, I can do that as everybody
she, yeah,
else.
She was brutally attacked. There was a struggle in this room.
Okay.
The wounds are mortal. They're oh. This is a fatal attack.
She's gonna die.
No. No.
Is she real?
She's real. Marjorie is interacting with hands. Yeah. Marjorie is physically has physically interacted with her. She is physically
We've
in a space.
Seen
she's
weird
real.
Magic.
That's true. And Zabbis is also confused. So legit
yeah.
question
is. Do we know where this smoke and stuff came from?
There was a shattering sound when the mask fell to the ground.
Can I like
Did the mask break?
The mask is not broken.
Can I investigate that sound?
Not. You can.
The mask is not broken.
The mask is not
mask
broken.
Fell and broke.
Fell and broke
poison
something.
Vial.
I was scared. He said the mask is now broken.
No, it is not. It's not broken.
It's the death
yeah. I can I look. So can I look and see where the source of that sound maybe came from?
There's broken glass next to the mask.
But can I look at the glass?
Yes, you can roll investigation to look further.
I rolled a 9. I wish I wasn't stupid.
There is a powder among the glass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I smell it?
Sure. You smell it and it intensifies the effect.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to sit quietly now.
Do you have a dying message for us who found you here?
Sucks to be asked that. Like, oh, man. I'm
what
fucked.
Do you do you need something?
She starts to mutter. She's trying to say something, but as she's trying to talk, she's like spitting up blood. Like she is hurt bad. And you, Marjorie, what are you trying to do? Do you want to roll medicine or something?
Yeah,
like to
stabilize
help
her?
Yeah, yeah.
You said mortal though, so
you know, yeah, she is dying.
Plus one, baby, let's go. Dirty 20.
Oh.
I put my hands in her the right way. The wound's not a guys.
Yeah, no, I know it. That's still
it's
gross.
Just very squishy.
Yeah,
it's very squishy.
Yeah, and I also I have magic goop residue on my fingers.
That's probably not great.
Oh, you're using the soul goop?
Not by choice.
Not by choice. Oh, jeez. Oh.
I did not wipe the soul goop off my hands, and I put my hands in her mortal slash wounds with my dirty 20 medicine check.
Let's say that the soul goop does kind of stop things for a second.
Nice.
Oh, that's generous.
Like things stop getting worse.
Okay.
Hey. Hey,
we're getting somewhere
now. Talk.
Black.
Yes.
When you interact with this person, green and blue lights start to swirl around them.
What?
And swirl around you.
What?
And these lights form the face of a dragon. You recognize the dragon to be Didridon. And the dragon kind of laughs and then disappears. And then whoosh, there's a flash. You're all inside of a memory.
What the fuck?
Inside of Flack's memory.
Oh,
Flack, the bargain that you made with Didridon was that someone in every city that we know knows you.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Cool.
The flip side of that coin. You know this person. She is, currently is, potentially was... Finivella Olavojcik, a half-elven adventurer and researcher who is
Polish elves.
who is an expert in the pre-empire history of the West. And through Didridon's magic, we are all transported to Flack's memory of a short but passionate love affair of when the two were younger.
What?
Flack
wow.
was just setting out on his own, trying to make a name for himself as a performer. And Vel was a graduate student on a research trip to the southern shores of the Giras Sea.
There is a naked person in this room.
They met in a beachside inn where Flack was playing in an otherwise empty room. She wasn't paying attention to him, really, as she pored over old scrolls and scraps of parchment while sipping on a gnomish beer topped with a lime. But Flack played on nonetheless, and as though he were headlining Goatfest. When Flack acted out mock banter with an imaginary audience, Vel couldn't help but chuckle at his jokes, and Flack couldn't help but notice. When Flack informed the audience that he'd be taking a short break, he took it next to Vel, and he never went back on that stage.
Oh, wow.
By then, Vel had already traveled most of the known world in search of the secrets of the pre-empire civilizations that lived there. To a young Flax, she was an exotic outsider with stories he could only dream of. She told him about the tribes of the Zaldorian steppe and how they fought off a great Talon army long ago, some say with the aid of a dragon unlike any on record. She told him about the guardians of the Furacy Emerald and the great Emerald Sea covering the middle of the northern continent. How they guard their woods with vicious guerrilla tactics, but little is known of their actual society. She told him about the Skalds of Hosk and their snowy castle college by the fjords. She told him about the underwater peoples of the Bay of Sofrendu and the legend of the Aqua Dome. He told her about growing up in the shadow of his father and his longing to be more than just a gnome. She said there's no gnome she's ever met who is just a gnome. The shadows of the palm trees stretched along sands of the beach as Flack and Vel drank beers, ate tapas, and shared stories. And eventually it came out that Vel had never touched the sea. She grew up in a landlocked elven city in Chambrino, high in the mountains of Kyr. And even though she'd been all over the world, she managed to stay on land. Flack took her hand and they left their jamon and patatas behind as they ran laughing into the water. And the moon rose as they kissed in the shallows. They spent the next 4 days and nights together in that little seaside inn before Flack woke one morning to find a note next to him instead of Vel. And it read, "I'm sorry, I had to go. You're more. Don't forget it."
Wow. That was a great story.
Yeah. And the blue lights fade and Flack and the team are back in the room with Vel.
She loved you.
Who dies.
Wow.
Margarine.
D&D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.